Hi, everybody, and welcome to So What Happens Next Small Screens. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Thomas.
I'm Amber.
And like we said on our first episode, this is a show where we're just kind of talking about, you know, the stuff that we happen to be seeing on our TV, you know, whether it's new or old or, you know, anything in between. Today, though, we're going to correct my last statement from last week, and we're talking about an FX television series called Devs. How are you doing today, Amber?
Doing good.
So, Devs is a mini series from FX, the television station. It's only about 8 episodes long, so mini is definitely, you know, warranted here. But just to give you guys a sort of rounded idea of who's in this show, you got Sonia Mizuno playing our main character, Lily Chan. Nick Offerman playing the tech sort of...
tech CEO... or CEO of this tech company.
Yep. That's it. CEO of the tech company named Forrest. You have Jin Ha playing the love interest, I guess you could go with,
yeah.
Named Jamie. You know, a handful of other characters. And then Allison Pill, who plays Katie, who's like...
she's like a recent graduate that also works with Nick Offerman.
Yeah, she's like Nick Offerman's right-hand man.
Yeah.
So, to get into what this show is basically about is, if you were to go on IMDb and look this show up, all you're going to really get is, a computer engineer investigates the secretive development division in her company, which she believes is behind the disappearance of her boyfriend. Which, to round it out, is basically Lily, our main character's Russian boyfriend, which is important. gets invited to work. They all work at this, tech company, right?
Yes.
Big tech company in Silicon Valley with a creepy as shit statue of a little girl. A giant, like, 200-foot-tall statue of a little girl. Not by any means small, but he gets invited to work in the devs department, which
yeah,
I guess
like
is...
like DevOps.
Yeah, which is like a coveted position at this company.
Yes. After showing them, like, a project he had been working on, which shows the movements of... like this worm, basically, but it's like 10 seconds, a minute or so, like into the future. So he can like determine like the probability of like what they're gonna do next, basically.
Right.
And they were just like, oh, this is like really cool. And they offer him like a position at Devs.
Yeah. He basically creates something that lets him predict the future, kind of, of like what a worm's gonna do.
And using like machine learning, obviously, so AI
right.
to like determine that. Which, I mean, to me, I was kind of like, okay, like I feel like anybody could do this, but yeah, it basically is like, you know, telling the future, which is kind of pretty cool.
No, it is pretty neat. It's pretty scary too, and this show definitely goes into that.
Yeah, but... later on, it definitely becomes a lot scarier with his use of technology.
Oh yeah, no. So basically, the long story short is he gets invited to Devs. Turns out he's a Russian spy, and they catch him because in Devs, as you later find out, they're building a super quantum computer that can do what he did times a billion and predict everything that ever happened and everything that ever will happen.
Yeah.
So they find out he's a spy, and they ultimately kill him, like, you know, assassinate him or whatever.
Yes, and they have also this creepy ass...
oh my god, let's talk about the security dude.
So I guess with the security dude, his background story is that he used to be part of the CIA, and you know, later on you get a little bit more into it, which is definitely unnerving when he like explains it to Jamie.
I don't...
but
this is
just
my least
right off the
character.
Bat, yeah. I was like, this guy like is... you know, even worse than just the tech CEO, because the tech CEO is, when you look at Nick Offerman, you're like, okay, he seems kind of like this, you know, almost laid back, a little bit pompous, but not very harmful I guess.
Yeah, he's like, he's just kind of like an idealist. Like, but I think even Jamie, like the love interest character, like he kind of makes a point. He's like, all the tech people, like the people who run tech places, ultimately like get god complexes and think that they're like saving the planet. And like,
exactly,
it's kind of,
and that what definitely describes Nick Offerman's character, Forrest.
Mm-hmm. No, totally. And what you actually find out, the whole reason Forrest is doing this, because he's kind of like a lot of these tech people, is he himself doesn't seem like he does tech. He just seems like he's...
he just has a lot of money.
Right, he has like a bunch of money. Very, he's very like bankrolling Elon Musk it.
Type of person.
Right, like he's just bankrolling like this company, well, was. Now he's making a bunch of money off of it. But I mean, his whole goal is to like... it seems to be to like, you know, see another reality, or see if his wife and child died in a car accident, if there was like something he could have done to stop it.
Yeah, because there's obviously like different or parallel worlds to, yeah, so where let's they get into that.
Let's get into the whole,
yeah, let's get into,
let's get
that.
Into like the premise. So the show basically is operating on this premise of, you know, we're using this computer to predict everything that's going to happen.
Yeah, different scenarios.
Right.
Like different outcomes of a situation.
But in Nick Offerman's mind, everything only has one outcome ever. Like, he's operating on this not multiverse theory of everything. So in his mind, to validate him basically being on the phone with his wife, kind of causing this car accident that kills his wife and daughter, he's thinking, if I can develop this thing that can basically look through time perfectly, it will prove that there was nothing I could have done and that everything that happened was just gonna happen. It doesn't work that way. And like, one of the people on the devs team, this like young kid, figures it out and they get it to work.
Yeah.
And basically they get it to work by operating on the premise of the multiple reality thing, which gets them fired because Forrest gets all pissed off and, you know, kicks him out for doing it wrong in his mind, even though they're like, this is the only way it'll work. You don't get it. At the same time, you have basically Lily, our main character, sort of like trying to figure out why the hell this quote unquote suicide of her boyfriend happened, and like just try to basically prove what the hell happened for real. And that's where you get the Russian secret agent thing. You get, you know, the creepy security guy. He just... I hate the security guy. I hate the security guy.
I do too.
And it's like, I can't tell if the show wants me to feel this way about him, but he is my least favorite character, both because he is like a villain and because he just feels out of place to me.
He does. Like, he's definitely outside of the tech sphere, you could say. Like, everybody else gets it. They get the idea of this machine that they're building.
Right.
He, on the other hand, he's just basically there to protect their assets.
But it's not... and that's the thing that's even weird about it. He's like, if you go to throw me under the bus, I'll throw you under the bus faster.
Exactly, but yet he's not on their team, because if anything happens to him, it's like he's gonna fuck them over.
Right, which makes me kind of like, okay, well, whose team are you on? Like, how... I guess my thing is like, how is this so beneficial for you? Like, what is this doing? Unless you're, like, fucking nutty and you just like killing people. In which case, I guess this is an outlet for that.
Yeah.
But they never explore
it. Because even,
it.
Like, Forrest and his right-hand man or woman, you could say, they don't want to kill Lily.
No, because they've looked into the future and they see there's this particular... so, their fancy little machine can only see in the future so far. And that's not because it's, like... shitty at it, but it's because at this particular point in the future, they can see that Lily makes a decision to ultimately kill Nick Offerman, which kills herself. And from that point forward, the machine just can't see into the future. And they're, Forrest and Katie, Allison Pill's character, are like, why the fuck isn't this work? Like, yeah. Why, what does she do? And so they've kind of prepared themselves for this day. The twist is Lily doesn't, you know, do what she does in the future vision, which is shoot Nick Offerman. She just doesn't do anything. But one of the other developers, he, you know, shuts the floating elevator thing off.
Yeah, he destabilizes the
magnetic field that holds it all together or something. And basically they fall to their deaths and choke in like a vacuum, which is like pretty brutal the way they go. And then you have just this whole premise that the show brings up of like multiple realities and what does it mean to be real. And I think, you know, before we go ahead and wrap up the ending of the show, something to really get into on this is just like you have this computer that can predict everything, you know, like it can predict all the things. They listen to like Jesus talk.
And not
only
that, but yeah, but looking into the past as well, and the better that the machine gets, I guess, looking into like the past and the future, the more clearly you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they're looking at like Marilyn Monroe and some other guy having sex or something,
right,
like it becomes clearer. And then also like they can start hearing Jesus's voice.
Right. And it's just, you know, these it that and those scenes to me were like, okay, whoa, get it. You're doing a whole like.
Yeah. Things that people have never, you know, seen before, or even like things that were written about, mm-hmm. but you didn't have like evidence for.
Yeah. And it's interesting in that regard that we're like doing this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because Nick Offerman later reveals that the word devs is just a joke and the V is actually Latin and it's been Deus the whole time, which is the Latin for God. And like, that's his little twist right after Lily's like, yeah, you know, my friend told me that all of you guys get God complexes.
Yeah.
And by this point, everybody's dead except like Lily, Forrest, Katie, and then the guy that ultimately shuts off the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I don't like the Deus joke. I just don't. It just was a little too much.
Yeah.
But I do like how this show plays. It plays such a neutral point. Because at the end, so let's talk about the end, then we can talk about the whole thing, I think. Because okay. I keep trying to skip around the end to kind of like give you guys a little bit before we get there. But you know what? Fuck it. So the ending is Lily and Forrest still fall to their deaths. They die. The computer like makes a copy of them in a moment. And they're sort of like an AI, but not. Like they're them in everything they've ever been and could possibly be. And it sticks them in a simulated world in where the boyfriend never got killed and Nick Offerman's family never got killed.
Because it could have been the opposite, but it ended up being like what they wanted. Well, at least what Forrest wanted.
And he even says they got lucky because they meet each other in this simulated world.
Because it shows like the other different scenarios, and like there's one where, you know, his wife and child still die,
mm-hmm.
and they're both alone in that simulation.
And that's an interesting thing because, like, Nick Offerman Forrest finds her in the world and is like, yo, we got lucky. Like, we really got lucky. It stuck us in a reality where we didn't, like, this is the best possible scenario. And is, you know, the giant 200-foot-tall statue of the girl is still there, but the entire devs thing is gone. And it's just a field where he's playing with his family.
Yeah. Because he never had to make devs.
Right. In order to do it. And so, like, Lily dumps the Russian boyfriend, who's kind of a dick, which is weird.
Yeah.
Like, and fair enough, like, this guy
because
never told her.
The whole point was, like, she never really knew
right.
who he was until this whole thing happened where she was trying to figure out, okay, why did they kill him?
And that's where she finds out, oh, he's been, like, a secret agent the whole time. And even his partner's like, oh, well, he still loved you. And she's like, yeah, but I didn't know he was a fucking secret agent. And
yeah, and then realizing that, you know, Jamie, like, she was compatible with him, but
mm-hmm.
they just didn't.
It might have been like at the wrong time kind of type thing.
Exactly.
You know? And it works. Like, I think it works really well because by that point, like, Jamie dies. You watch him die, but you also see them kind of get together before he gets killed. I mean, like, the show just has a good ending, as good as it can be, because the next scene is in the real world where Katie is convincing this senator who wants, you know, the technology or whatever to keep it under wraps and explains, look, this thing can fucking tell the future. Nobody should have it. Also, Forrest and Lily are still alive in there. Please keep it on. Like, if it shuts off, they're dead.
Yeah.
And so she's like, okay, cool. Like, fine. We'll keep it on. Like, nobody should have this. This is crazy. And so they cut a deal and, you know, that's how it sort of ends, which is like nice because it just, I liked how neutral this show was. It wasn't like, oh, Nick Offerman is nothing but diabolical. The madman trying to predict the future. And it's just like, no, he's doing this thing that it's kind of like all technology, right? Like the technology is not evil.
Yeah, because at the beginning, it almost seemed like it was self-serving to him. Mm-hmm. But then in many ways, it was self-serving to a lot of people, like including Lily. So she gets like a second do-over, basically,
right,
with Jamie.
And it worked out. And I think it kind of provides, to get into a more philosophical religious component of it, I mean, it provides this very like deist mentality about God, where it's like, here's this thing, it's God. It's just doing its thing. Whatever you choose to do will have an effect that is, you know,
because that's the whole whatever thing, right? This idea of like having choice or free will. Right.
And that's what the show kind of goes on for a while is like, you know, Forrest and everybody is just sort of like, we don't have a choice because I can predict what you're going to do and you're going to do it, which culminates in Lily choosing to throw the gun off the elevator or whatever instead of taking it and shooting Forrest. The result is still the same, but it's still like a different, like the cause was different. And that sort of shocks everybody because they've watched this over and over. And this, I mean, and, you know, it's one of my biggest gripes about the latest Westworld season was they do the same thing, but kind of shittier, and they just make an evil robot that can predict the future. And it's like, that's not the point. Like, the great point that this is trying to make is that people can make decisions, and those decisions can be good, they can be bad, or they could just have a result that is something, whether they intend it or not. The knowledge and the ability to predict the future doesn't really change anything necessarily, but the technology at its core is just neutral. Like the entire show, they're using computers and cell phones and all these things to do secret stuff, you know, or do things that help themselves, but it's not the computer's fault, it's not the phone's fault, it's not Dev's fault. It's just exists. You know, Westworld, I mean, we can always talk about it later on, but Westworld is just, it's an evil computer that, spoilers for season 3 of Westworld, is actually the architect of all the evil things and is controlling the world. And it's like, they
to
even
the point
go so far
where you're basically setting people to do certain things and to commit like certain actions, and then like what they are in the world. So if they're like a lawyer or a doctor, or if they're a criminal, it already has that like set up.
Right, which like, is the thing that they say like it won't, like that's the thing in Devs where they're like, oh, this could be terrifying because someone could try to do this, and it's like, no, they can't, because it's up until Lily makes the decision, they're kind of like, the thing that they say, that Devs say will happen, will always happen. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you can try to do this whole arranging the world thing, but the result is always, you are seeing the result of a cause. And yeah, it doesn't matter what the cause is. Evidently, it doesn't matter what the cause is. The result is still going to be the same.
Yeah. Because again, it's with that one girl who kind of figured all of it out. She's with Katie over at a bridge, and mm-hmm. She's like, if I, you know, stand with my arms outstretched, will I fall?
Right.
And it doesn't matter which way she does it, she ends up falling, you know, to her death.
Right. And they show, like, you know, 100 different scenarios in which this character, Lyndon, falls. And, you know, Katie tells her, it's not, you know, yeah, there's an infinite number of possibilities, and at least one of them you're going to survive. So Lyndon's like, I don't care. You kind of get into this meta thought of everything, right? Because, like, if you start looking at yourself in this, like, higher dimensional level, you dying from jumping off this bridge still means that one of you didn't, yeah, you know? So it's like at this, it's like a Schrodinger's cat. You always live and die at the same time.
Yeah.
And so Lyndon does it, but they never show one where Lyndon walks away.
Yeah.
Lyndon always dies. It just, they die in, like, 100 different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is really supporting the point that the show is trying to make, where, you know, the effect, or the cause is always the same, but the effect, I'm sorry, the cause is always different, but the effect is more or less always going to be the same.
Yeah. With, and, like, a really small possibility that you end up getting.
Right. It's like a 1 out of a billion chance that you're actually going to,
yeah, survive,
right,
or whatever.
But, you know, when you stand with your arms outstretched on a ledge that barely goes past your heels, yeah, more likely than not, you're going to die. With
your small chance of actually living when you're doing, you know, things like that.
Exactly. And that's where Westworld bugs me, because it's just like, oh, here's this robot computer thing and it can predict the future and it's been like orchestrating everybody's lives. And I guess in a way they kind of rip, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell which one came first, right? But as far as devs goes, it just, I watched it first. It came out first for sure. Westworld Season 3 does the same thing, where there's a point in which this evil robot can't see in the future anymore. Everything just drops off and disappears, just like in Devs. Like, it's like a shitty version of Devs, and it makes me so fucking mad. There's like none of the nuance and none of the meaning is there, but they try to pretend like it's there.
And the character development in Devs is so much better.
Oh, even my God, when, I love the
with
character.
The villain.
Oh,
like,
they,
we got so much character
Nick
development.
Nick Offerman's character.
Yeah.
In this show, you go from like, oh, he's some like evil tech guy,
yeah,
to like you sympathize with him. And he's not, he's just like this neutral entity, kind of like the computer. Like, he has an end game. Like, he wants to basically see his daughter again, but it, and like validate the shit that happened to him. But it's like, as over the top and selfish as it is, it's kind of like he's not doing anything bad except the killing people thing.
Yeah.
Which is arguably a very bad thing that he is doing. But then you find out, you know, well, that dude was a Russian spy who was going to steal this technology and give it to the Russians. So you get a really interesting development of characters here, because everybody's kind of like good and bad at the same time. And it just feels realistic, because they're all just products of their choices. And, you know, in other shows, like, again, with Westworld, they don't do that. You know, they don't do this, everybody's a product of their decisions regardless, because that's not the point, that's not what they're trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
But this show, I mean, for 8 episodes, I remember, like, when we first, I remember you suggested this, Anne, where you're like, oh, let's watch this show. And I was like, okay, fine. And I'm thinking, because the upfront plot that Hulu gave us was just like, oh, this girl's boyfriend is killed and she thinks a tech company is to blame or something along the line. And I was just like, oh, okay, this is just going to be like some crime thriller.
Yeah, like they're harboring some secret that's not... I didn't think it would be this grandiose
right.
of an idea, basically. I was just like, oh, it's probably like he was trying to steal some secret to create his own tech company or sell it off to another tech company.
I know. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I couldn't have imagined that it would have been like, you know.
No, we're making robot like God.
Like, yeah, basically.
What? I mean, and that's where like about the second half of the first episode, maybe the second episode in, I'm like, whoa, I'm really into this. And I felt like there was definitely an interest switch between the two of us for a minute, because I'd be like, let's watch Dead. And like, let's watch something else. I'm like, no, there's only 8 episodes and we've already watched 4 of them. No, this show is definitely like, I was very, very into it. I love the cast in this. I'm super, like, Alison Pill and Nick Offerman and Sonia Mizuno do fantastic jobs in this.
Yeah.
Like, just their dynamic as sort of, like, heroes and villains and everything in between is just fantastic. Zach Greenier as Kenton, the evil security guard, he does a really good job. It makes you sick.
He does.
But, I mean, at the same time, I know at the top of this episode I said I didn't care for his character. I don't care for his character. Zach Greenier does a fucking awesome job playing this, like, sick-to-your-stomach, just disgusting human being, and it's... I applaud him for that. I also just like when shows end. Maybe it's just me getting older or something, but I just really enjoy when these, like, television series actually wrap up with something, as opposed to just going on and on and on and on and on and on and on, and then eventually we'll just decide to end it.
Like Westworld.
Right. Like, and again, that's something that's really bothering me with Westworld. I thought it was done. And then like, Season 3. And I'm like,
whereas this is like 8 episodes, you can totally get through that, and it doesn't just stop either to where, oh, we're gonna do another season. And I've noticed that with a lot of shows now. Some of them have become like, what are they called? Like mini
Oh, like anthology type deals, right?
Yeah, like, or like mini shows, you know, like Little Fires Everywhere, things like that, where it's just like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you're going to get. You're not going to get another season. We're only doing this amount of episodes.
And that's where, like, grand total, this show is only about 7 hours long. Like, total. Yeah. Well, all the episodes together. Not even, really. It's, like, a little less than 7 hours. But it tells, like, a really interesting and thought-provoking story with, you know, a handful of characters. Very few set pieces, for that matter, as well. There's not a whole lot of sets in this. And it's just... I'm enjoying, like, kind of this age of television where creators are allowed to do some stuff. And we're giving them budgets and we're giving them the means to kind of tell a long, stretched out story. This is kind of my opinion on, like for instance, the direction that I think, like, Star Wars should go. Ever since, like, The Mandalorian, the latest season of Clone Wars, it's like you're trying to pack so much shit into movies that you're either making 3-4 hour long movies or you're just sort of cutting too much junk out. Whereas you take something like The Mandalorian where you can kind of burn this, like, plot and introduce characters slowly and grow everything slowly, that, like, that is a great medium, especially with streaming now, where you just binge watch something. I mean, we binge watch this for the most part. You have that ability to, like, make your giant long movie, but at the same time, it's still a TV show.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, I'm really curious if we're gonna get maybe more stuff like this as opposed to other things.
We might, because I feel like this was definitely on the better end of FX, or what they've been producing thus far.
Yeah. I mean, I like things, like, I like FX's, some of FX's stuff. I mean,
like, I remember when FX first was, like, you would watch movies. It on cable, yeah. And they would have all these old movies that they would play, like, X-Men was, like,
right,
a big thing.
Constantly.
And they would go behind the scenes of, right, like, X-Men.
The amount of times I've seen the behind the scenes for X-Men 2.
And that's, like, what, like, FX was to me back then.
Yeah, no, and I apologize to FX. when we watched it, we watched it on Hulu, and it, you know, even the poster here that I'm looking at says FX on Hulu, so maybe it's like a joint deal between the two of them, and that's why I got it mixed up, but it's at least one of, if not both, of those sort of production groups. It's a very good show. Do you have any guess, like, you know, what this, how well or how not so well this show might be rated?
I think it'd have to be like a 7 or an 8, right? I don't know if you're looking at
I'm looking at IMDb, so okay.
Yeah, but I would say like a 70 or 80%.
Yeah, it's a 78%, actually. Okay. I kind of combined the two things that you said.
Okay.
It's definitely, I think it's a little,
I'd
bump
it's better,
to at least
honestly,
an 8.
After watching, like, Westworld, which, again, we can get into, like...
Yeah, in a future mini-episode,
yes,
we could definitely talk about
episode.
Westworld. but, yeah, I would pump it up to at least an 8, but in my personal opinion, I think I'd stick it to, like, an 8.5. What about you?
Yeah, I think it would be an 8.5.
Yeah. And it's not... I mean, it's only because a handful of episodes might be a little slow in some cases, but yeah. I mean, it's like...
And then sometimes, like, when they're, you know, talking about all these ideas about, like, machine learning and AI, it kind of goes over your head a little bit.
This definitely makes you, like,
especially
really have to
think. When there was one scene where Katie was at a, like, a seminar or something like that at school, and she's listening to the teacher.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah, like, her backstory, basically, and the teacher was explaining... basically, like, what the machine is doing. But her idea of how it works, which is, you know, this idea of, like, multi-universe, she was basically saying it was due to something else. And that was kind of, like, over my head because I didn't know, you know, about those theories. And I was kind of just like, okay, like...
Yeah, if I recall, the scene that you're talking about was, like, they're trying to prove to Nick Offerman that Katie, because she's still a student, is, like, a flashback.
Yeah, but she's, like, way above, like,
right,
her... you know, the level at which she's at.
And so the professor's, like, trying to provoke her because she's also super arrogant, and she's saying something along the lines of, like, reality is based on emotional perception or something like that.
Yeah.
So, like, what you feel is real is real. Mm-hmm. And Katie takes huge exception to this and, like, loses her mind and is, like, stating all these other theories that involve, like, math and just harder
empirical
stuff.
Yeah, like, it's a calculated
thing. Right, and... you know, it's mostly done just to get her riled up, and it works. And she explains very succinctly, like, how these things work. But the show definitely makes you, like, have to kind of almost, if you're not familiar with these things, like, pause it and go, okay, wait a minute. Like, I got to do a Wikipedia search real quick just to get the gist of, like, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
And then hope you understand it.
Because
the show
does
make
you
think.
Because it does have a lot of, like, tech.
It does. Well, it has tech. It has like sort of quantum physical kind of type talk. It's very like.
But it's then like again, quantum computing. They do the same thing in Westworld, and it's just completely over your head. Like,
well, Westworld, like, they don't even touch like the how. They're just like, we made a computer.
Right. Like, that it's is just evil. Like, oh, we did it, and it's.
Yeah, it's it. It's,
that's it. No explanation whatsoever. It just it is.
And I'm not so going
to
sit here.
So it was nice
and,
that devs kind of at least tried to explain, like, okay, this is how the machine works.
And I'm not going to sit and pretend like I'm an expert on any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's plenty in this show that went over my head.
Yeah, I'm no software
engineer. But like I don't work with quantum computers or anything, but when they do explain it in a way, at least, where you kind of can understand at least what they're presenting you with. Whether that's the reality or not, again, we're not quantum computer
people. Yeah, and even
people,
if this isn't real, like, they definitely made it seem like it could be a possibility.
Which is
like
a great
really
way
cool.
to tell a story. Like, yeah. That's how you tell a story. You define the rules of your world, and then you say, everyone has to follow them. We're doing this. And you go from there. And yeah, like, Westworld just doesn't bother to do it. You know, they're just like, yeah, we built a computer that is
like,
even.
We did have some rules, but then once those rules were broken, like, it doesn't make any sense anymore.
Right. And that's sort of the issue I have with a lot of, like, shows nowadays and things like that. And the shows in the past did this, too, is, like, and movies do it as well, is, like, you present these rules of your world in the sense of, like, this is the rules of the world that the people live in. So, like, the law. And that's different from, like, storytelling rules. So, like, in Westworld, they just present the law. And the whole point in this show is to break that law. But when you haven't really presented what they can and can't do, they can just do anything. So I don't really care that the law is being broken. It's not like The Matrix where they present all these rules and laws of their world and then Neo... Spoilers for The Matrix, by the way, but Neo breaks them and becomes the one.
Yeah.
And it's like the point was leading up to that. Also, the point of The Matrix probably wasn't to have a bunch of sequels, so him doing that at the very end of the movie makes sense. In Devs, they kind of stick in their world, and it's great because it's all condensed, it's all in its own spot, and it all really makes you think. Like, I don't know if I could have watched all 8 episodes of this in one sitting, aside from the time amount of time it would take. I mean, like, I would have had to have stopped and, like, just gone, wait a minute, did I understand what they were talking about? Because it lays
and
a lot
that
on
way,
you.
I do kind of like the way Hulu puts out episodes because they do it weekly.
Yeah.
They don't do it like, oh, here's all of your episodes and like binge watch this because
I think it works for shows like this, or I think you mentioned like Little Fires Everywhere.
Yeah.
Like shows that have a heavier emotional component or a thought provoking component, it's great to do it on the old school weekly schedule because it makes you have to kind of stop and digest it. Whereas when you do stuff like Westworld, you're not really, like the new season of Westworld, you're not really digesting it. It's not like the first 2 seasons where you did have that.
Mm-hmm.
And each week you had to go, oh man, that was a lot to think about. And this one is just like, oh, who cares? Yeah. Again, we'll talk about it in a future episode at this point. But yeah, so all in all, would you suggest, Amber, that people watch this show if they have Hulu or I guess FX?
Yeah, I would totally suggest watching it.
Yeah. I would too, if you're into this kind of thing. I know that TV is a lot more broad than movies, I feel like. You know, people are always willing to jump in to watch a movie that's maybe only an hour or two long. The TV is a bit more of a commitment. But if you want something that kind of stimulates part of your brain that a lot of TV today isn't doing, this is definitely it. And it's engaging. Like, it's a surprisingly engaging show. Taking that from somebody who read the synopsis and just went, this sounds lame, like another crime thriller. And then all of a sudden I'm like, we're dealing with reality. It's definitely worth the dive if you guys get the chance, either on your own Hulu accounts or FX or your friends' or family's Hulu accounts, whatever you do. It's definitely a good watch, and I definitely suggest, you know, dive in. Hopefully we didn't spoil it too bad for you, but it is, I think, even with this spoiler, you should watch it. Like, it's just the emotional impact it has.
Yeah, there are a lot of things we didn't cover.
Totally. I mean, 8 episodes.
That happens.
You think not a lot's going to be there, but damn, a lot is there. But anyway, that's probably going to be a wrap up for this episode. If you guys are enjoying this show, check out our previous episode on Ash vs. Evil Dead, where we not only kick off the small screens sort of sideshow, but also wrap up the Evil Dead franchise. Finally, it's a great show. Again, highly suggest it. Next week on this feed, we're you know what? We're just going to go ahead and do Westworld Season 3. Huh? That sounds good. Yeah, because we got a lot to say about that, both in the context of devs and in the context of just the, I don't know, it's just not that good.
Should have stopped at Season 2.
Oh, I wish it stopped at Season 2. I think Amber put it best, the show's a dumpster fire.
Literally and figuratively.
Literally and figuratively. There are actually dumpster fires in that show. But until our next episode on this feed of Westworld, as always, I am one of your hosts, Thomas.
I'm Amber.
And we'll see you guys next time.